بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in tonight's Taraweeh we heard the ninth juz, continuing with Surah Al-A'raf, which we had commenced last night. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in the opening few verses of the ninth juz His divine system that He employs in this world with regard to those who transgress, those who break His commands. This was mentioned in the seventh juz already, and now it is repeated here in slightly different words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us through His system that when a person breaks His command, a person transgresses, does not follow the teachings of the Nabi of the time, then the first stage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person through is to test him. Either Allah will test him with some physical sickness or with some poverty. Financially he will be tested. And the purpose of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَأَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ. The reason for this test is so that it is a wake-up call for the person so that he can turn back to Allah and he can realize the error of his ways and make tawbah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test a person for him to realize the error of his ways. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us when a person now persists and he continues to transgress despite Allah's test coming to him and despite him realizing and seeing that he has made a mistake, but now when conditions become easy once again, then he again breaks the command of Allah, he doesn't learn his lesson, so to say, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him into the second stage. ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ Allah says, we then change the condition from adversity into prosperity. We make things easy for him. In the other verse of the seventh juz, Allah says, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ We open the doors of all goodness for this person. In other words, we make his life easy, his sustenance easy. حَتَّى عَفَوْ Here Allah says, until they increase. And what is meant by increase? They increase in number, Allah gives them children, gives them a large family, they increase in their wealth, in their property, in their possessions, and they now are leading a life of comfort, of luxury. وَقَالُوا قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ To this extent, now these people then say that once upon a time some difficulty had come to our forefathers, some poverty or some sickness came to our forefathers. In other words, it was a very long time ago. Now we are well established. We are living in ease. No punishment is going to come to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lulls them into this false sense of security. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ Then Allah says, we will seize them suddenly. Whilst they do not realize, they do not perceive, suddenly Allah's punishment comes to this person and now he tastes the consequence of his actions. So these are the two stages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala employs with regard to a person who breaks his command, who transgresses. And again, the lesson for us to introspect and see within my own life, that am I breaking the commands of Allah, but at the same time Allah is giving me more of dunya, then ulama say a person should become afraid, he should become fearful, that it should not be that I am now in this second stage, and then the next thing is for the punishment of Allah to come. Allah protect us. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا Allah then says that we gave them all of this wealth and all of this ease and prosperity, but this was just the rope with which they would hang themselves. There was no barakah in it, there was no blessings in it. But if the people of these villages, and here what is referred to is the people of Shu'ib alayhi salam and the other anbiya who were mentioned in the verses that preceded this. So Allah says, if the people of these villages had brought iman and they had taqwa, in other words, if they corrected their affairs and they obeyed Allah, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Then Allah says, we would have opened up to them blessings from the sky and the earth. In other words, we would have still given them that wealth, but now it would have had barakah in it. It would have had blessings in it. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا But they have belied, they have rejected. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ Therefore we chose to punish them because of their own actions. They were the cause for their own punishment. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding a person who transgresses. And thereafter, in great detail, the incident and the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam is mentioned. And this particular incident, this story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, his upbringing, and thereafter his subsequent interaction with Fir'aun and the Bani Israel, this incident has been mentioned in various different places in the Quran. with different details. In some places, certain details are mentioned. Other places, those details are left out. But we find this, the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, is mentioned the most number of times in the Quran, more than any other Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama explain because of the close parallels between the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise, the Bani Israel and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and various different lessons that we can take from here. Again, time is limited. We heard also in last week's Jumu'ah bayan about the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But just one lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in these pages, and that is that there will always come a time when the mazloom, the oppressed, will dominate and get his right over the oppressor. This is Allah's system. A person makes zulam, he oppresses, and he takes the rights of others. Allah will always create that day where the mazloom, the oppressed, will see his right and will now dominate and become, and will have authority and power over the person who had oppressed him. Here, regarding the Bani Israel, and we know the torment and the persecution that Fir'aun and his people would put them through, where initially Fir'aun had commanded that all the male children must be slaughtered, must be killed, and various different types of persecution. They were regarded as second-class citizens in Egypt. But eventually, what was the end result? After the entire incident, Allah says, وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضَعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. That group, that qawm, that nation, who were downtrodden, who were weak, who were oppressed, the Bani Israel, we made them the heirs of the east and the west. Those lands which we had placed barakah and blessings in, the lands of Al-Quds, of course the land of Egypt as well, we made them the heirs. In other words, they eventually inherited these palaces and these gardens and everything that the people of Fir'aun had to leave behind when they were drowned. Now it came into the hands of the Bani Israel. So the lesson from here is that the oppressor, of course, must continue making sabr, must bear the oppression with patience. One day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that oppressed person see a day where he will dominate, where he will have power and authority over the zalim. We can see, of course, today in Palestine, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what type of oppression is not being meted out to them. But some sort of consolation for us and for them is that Allah will create a day where they will dominate, where they will be, they will have power, when they will have authority, and the zalimeen will then be completely destroyed. So this is also mentioned in the first quarter of the ninth juz. And thereafter, we continued with Suratul A'raf. Again, various different lessons that we can take from here. And one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a very specific piece of advice to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to then question Jibreel alayhi salam to find out the exact meaning of this. Here Allah tells him that, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That, O Nabi of Allah, خُذ means grab onto, hold onto. Al-afu. Al-afu means, generally we translate as forgiveness, as pardon. So hold on to al-afu. Wa'mur bil-urfi, and enjoin that which is good. Command others to do things, acts of righteousness. Wa'arid anil jahilin, and turn away and ignore those who are ignorant. So here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received this revelation from Jibreel, and then he asks him that, O Jibreel, what is Allah commanding me to do here? Where he says, khudil afwa, that hold on to forgiveness, hold on to pardon. What does Allah want me to do? Jibreel alayhi salam comes back with a message that Allah commands you, an ta'fuwa amman zalamak, that you should pardon and forgive those people who oppress you, who take away your rights. You should forgive them. Wa tu'ti man haramak, and you must give to those who withhold from you. People deprive you of your right, but you should still give them and ensure that their rights are fulfilled. وَتَصِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ, and you should join family ties with those who break ties with you. This is what Allah is commanding you to do. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. A very unique incident mentioned under this particular verse. There was a person by the name of Uyayna bin Hisn, and he had come to Madinah Munawwara. And when he came, he then stayed in the house of his nephew. His nephew's name was Al-Hur bin Qais. And Al-Hur bin Qais was very close to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. He would always frequent his gatherings. Umar radiallahu anhu would also make mashwara with him, would consult him and listen to his opinion on different matters. So Uyayna bin Hisan came to stay with Al-Hur bin Qais, his nephew. And then one day he told him that, listen, you are close to Umar bin Khattab, so why don't you arrange an appointment, a meeting with him? I want to speak to him. So Hur bin Qais does this. He arranges the meeting. When Uyayna bin Hisan comes in front of Umar bin Khattab, he was the Amirul Mu'mineen at that time. So in a very harsh and stern way, he tells him, O Umar, you have been oppressive to us, and you have not given us our rights, and you haven't been just and fair in your distribution of wealth from the Baytul Mal. Now he was under some sort of misconception, or perhaps he felt that maybe he didn't receive his right. Of course, it is inconceivable that Umar radiallahu anhu would have ever made zulam knowingly, but nevertheless he addresses him like this. Umar radiallahu anhu became very upset and angry. Of course, he knew he was in the right, and he had never committed any injustice, any oppression. So he became upset, and he was about to strike Uyayna bin Hisan. Hur bin Qais, the nephew, he is witnessing this, and he knows Umar bin Khattab, he knows his temperament, he knows his temper, his anger. So immediately, he reads to him this verse, that خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Adopt forgiveness and enjoin righteousness and ignore those who are ignorant. So he says to him, O Umar, this uncle of mine is an ignorant person. He doesn't know what he is saying. And Allah commands Nabi alayhi salam here, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, that you should forgive, you should pardon. Immediately Umar radiallahu anhu calmed down. He simmered down and he forgave Uyayna bin Hisan. As we mentioned last night, under this particular narration they mention, كَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Umar radiallahu anhu was such that whenever Quran was presented to him, immediately he submitted and he allowed the verse of Quran to dictate to him how he should then react and respond to that situation. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this verse then, tells us, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. This is a prescription that is given to a person who is tempted by shaitan. And we know which person is not tempted by shaitan. Daily we find different challenges in our life, whether it comes to abusing our gaze, abusing our tongue, sometimes our anger, our temper. So when a person is tempted and shaitan whispers into his ear, then here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Then seek protection from Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, he came out of his home, and he saw two individuals who were arguing with one another. Dispute had broken out, and they began to insult and swear one another. Their voices were raised. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam witnessed this, and then he mentioned to those around him that I know a statement, or I know a few words, that if these people had to recite it, then all of their anger and rage would completely disappear and vanish. And then when he was questioned that what is this, then very simple, he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek protection in Allah from shaitan the accursed. When we seek protection in Allah, basically what we are doing is we are now appointing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am putting you in charge and you take care of shaitan. He has now tried to prompt me and whisper into my ear and make me do something incorrect. So you take charge of him and now you save me and protect me from this situation. So he says if they had to recite this, Allah would have caused that anger and that rage to vanish. So this is a prescription for each and every one of us. Whenever any temptation comes, Mashaykh would always say that the first thing a person should do, of course we have other guidelines in the hadith, a person is standing, he should sit down, or he should move away from that place, he must go and make wudu to cause this whisperings of shaitan to go away. But a very effective prescription, wherever a person is, whether he has wudu or not, he's lying down, he's at home, at work, very simple and quick prescription. Even if he whispers it, or he mumbles it to himself, maybe he doesn't want somebody to hear, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And this is tried and tested, that now shaitan's attack will then go away, and a person will have control over himself once again. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.